Hi everybody, it's Tom from Cricket Coach 365 and welcome to our latest podcast. Hi everybody, it's Tom here from Cricket Coach 365 and welcome to our very latest podcast on lives in cricket, and in particular focusing on individuals connected to the women and girls game. Today I'm thrilled to be joined by Gandhali Bapat, who's based in Vienna in Austria, and is a cricket coach for the Austrian Cricket Association, as she's also the wicketkeeper batsman for the Austrian national team. So thank you ever so much, Gandhali, for making time to join us today.
Thank you so much, Tom. Thanks for having me here. Thank you so much.
It's a pleasure. And we're really interested in hearing your story about your life in cricket. And our very first question for everybody that we ask on our podcast as guests is if you can please describe, explain your first recollection, your first memory of getting involved with the game of cricket.
Yeah, sure. So it's same with me as every Indian kid have the memory of cricket playing. So I have an elder brother and I remember playing with him at our home, not even in terrace, sometimes at home as well, like our living room as well. So we used to play in our living rooms and sometimes in our terrace or sometimes on a street as well. So this is a very common thing for every other Indian kid, I guess. So that's how it started with my elder brother.
And how old were you at the time?
I was, let's say I was 6 or 7 years old.
And where did you grow up?
So that's when I started. So I grew up in a city called Solapur, in the state of Maharashtra, India. So that's a very, yeah.
And is that a big city? Has it got lots of cricket going on in that area?
No, it's not a really big city. It's a town, you can say. But yeah, as you know, everybody is a cricket fan in India. So my family also is a cricket fan, including my father and mother both. My father and brother, especially, they are cricket fanatic, you can say. And they are very interested in cricket and they know every record of the game and yeah. So that's how I got introduced to cricket.
Superb. And so as a six-year-old, playing at home, playing indoors as well as playing in the street, what happened next for you? Where did you go from there? How did you develop your game, your skills, your interest? Did you play at school? Did you play at a club?
Kid, I was young. I didn't play for my school or anything. It was just with my brother and some of the friends around my home. I played various games like volleyball, basketball. I tried everything. But then finally, when I finished my schooling and moved to a different city for my higher education, you can say, then I started playing cricket and then I settled down on cricket actually. So for my college, I used to play for, and then it goes on, yeah.
So tell us a little bit about your memories of playing cricket at college.
Mm-hmm. So for playing for the college was a good thing. I enjoyed every moment of it. Back then, so let's say now I'm playing cricket for at least 10 or 11 years since I was in college. And that time we didn't have any specific coach as such. So we trained ourselves, or many times our senior used to come and she used to train us, and that's how it started. But then I play, first you play for your college, then you qualify for your university, and then you qualify for your state or national team. So that's how it started. So I gradually, first I played for my college, then for my university, then for my state, and yeah, that was the journey.
So when you were at college, was it all women? Was it mixed? And did you play against, what other kind of teams did you play against?
Yeah, so the college is mixed, like we call it in India, it's a co-education kind of thing. But yeah, the team was all women. And we used to play at the used to play with other college teams, and we have used to have competitions between each other, each college, and then you get mixed with each other for the university team. So we were of mixed of everybody. Yeah. So it's not just our college. So you get qualified with every other team. Yeah, and then you go for the university team.
I see. And how far would you travel before representing the city? You know, that inter-college tournament or league. How far would you have to travel? Was it very close to your other teams you played, or did you have to travel long and far?
Yeah. So for intercollege, it used to be in the same city. The matches used to be in the same city. We didn't have to travel much. But for the university matches, university games, you have to travel all across India. It could be anywhere. So yeah, for the university teams, we used to travel within India, within other states, and yeah, that's how it goes.
Okay. What? And tell us a little bit, if you can paint a picture of a typical college kind of cricket ground or pitch, what would it look like? What kind of things can we learn and have our listeners understand?
Okay. So our cricket ground for my college was like, we didn't have any turf wicket or anything. We always used to have matting wicket. So cement wicket, and on that, you know, the mat is there, cricket mat is there. We always used to have matches on the mat wicket. We never had turf wicket or lush green ground in India. I mean, a couple of times we had it for the university games, but for the inter-college tournaments, you have a very rough ground. It's not like fully polished or like very decent pitch or anything. So it's like very rusty kind of thing. So yeah, and matting wicket.
Okay, and how many overs would you play? What was the length or duration of each match at college?
So it was always 40 overs game every time, and for the university matches also, it was always 40 overs game.
Right, and did the facilities improve as you progressed through to university and to city levels?
Yes, definitely. For intercollegiate level, you are like very basic level of the cricket, but as you go further, you have good facilities there. So generally for the university games and state level games, you have good facilities and everything. Yeah, you can train well.
But do you have to pay for all of your equipment? You have to pay for your travel, all of that kind of stuff?
Yeah, so we don't have to pay for our travel, but we do have to pay for our own equipment, so that you have your own kit bag and your own equipment, that's it. Otherwise, you don't have to pay to travel for your university team or college team. That is paid by your university.
Okay. So maybe you could describe for us a match or a particular time that you look back on and think, oh, that was a particularly great occasion. It was an exciting time, whether it was a friendly game between different colleges or whether it was a trial match. Just, yeah. You know, for the benefit, again, of the listeners understanding that background to your cricketing life, please see if you can give us a couple of examples.
Okay, so I remember one friendly game arranged in some different town in the same state of mine. And that was a T20 tournament. And so that time I had stopped my cricket for my education. I was pursuing a master's in psychology. And so I had to stop because of my internship and academic things. But I do remember that tournament because our team was kind of the players we had stopped playing cricket, but we were cricket fans always, and we wanted to have a game again, and we formed a team, and then we played against a good team, and which involved like some players from Indian side as well. So if you have heard about Sonia Dabir or Snehal Pradhan, who had played for Indian team, they were also playing the tournament, and I do remember that. So we had a final between them and us, and actually our team was kind of retired players, you can say. And that team was really good. And we enjoyed that game and we could fight well at least. I mean, of course, we didn't win that game. But yeah, we could fight well and still we could be the runner-ups for the tournament. And we enjoyed that. I do remember that incident. Otherwise, all the university matches, we enjoyed a lot because as a team, you get to travel together. You have all the fun and everything. You go to different cities. You get to visit different parts of India. And that was really a good time for me.
And I suppose that you got the opportunity to make, you know, good friends along the way. Is that true?
Yes, of course, yes. That's a good time to make friends. Yeah, sure. For sure.
And what about, you mentioned it earlier that you didn't have a coach when you first played at college. So at what point did coaching start to have an influence over the games and the teams you played for?
Mm-hmm. So for the intercollegiate tournaments or a college team, we didn't have coach, as I mentioned. Our senior used to train us. But when we started playing for the university, yes, then we did have a coach. Who was a qualified coach, of course, and who also used to play for state or higher level games. So I remember that coach till now. He was really good, was a good manager. He was a good coach as well. And for maybe a couple of years, we had the same coach, and we also had a different bond with him. So he was very friendly. He was strict as well at the same time. And he gave a lot of insights about cricket and it helped us to improve our games, definitely.
Okay. And what were the challenges that you faced, in the main challenges that you faced? I'm thinking especially, you know, in a male-dominated cricketing world, you know, what were the... You know, what were the main challenges that you encountered along the way, you know, from college to university to state?
So, frankly speaking, I didn't find any kind of challenge as such because we used to have this all-women team. So, I guess it was very easy for us. The main challenge for us was traveling within India, actually, for the games. So we used to travel by train, and it takes a long time to reach from one part of India to other, especially if you are traveling from north to south or east to west. You take a lot of time by train, and particularly that was a challenge for girls or women, I can say, because spending a couple of days maybe in the train, and then after reaching the destination, you have to play the game. Immediately the next day, you don't get to train or you don't get any rest or anything. I guess that was the challenge for all of us, the girls, when we used to play. But otherwise, considering it as a challenge, I don't find anything particularly.
And were you always interested in catching and therefore saw wicket-keeping as something that you wanted to do? Or how did that come about?
So actually, I don't remember how I started wicket keeping, frankly speaking. But yeah, maybe I was a bit short that time. I'm still a bit short. We had a different wicket keeper back then. But somehow, I was interested in wicket keeping. I used to like behind the stumps and catching. And particularly, I used to like stumpings. So maybe I started that. I don't remember any particular incidents when I started wicket keeping.
But it's something that you've always done since then, yeah?
Yeah, yes.
Are you a right-handed batsman or left-handed batsman?
I'm right-handed batsman.
And what's your style of play? Are you a front foot batsman? Are you a back foot player? Are you do you prefer the shorter formats or do you prefer occupying the crease?
Now I have developed my stance and everything, and now I'm a front foot player. And my favorite shot, you can say, is pull, because it's easy to hit. Rather than going on front foot and cover drive or anything, I prefer pulling the balls. I like that. But yeah, now I have developed my stance, and everything, and now I like to play on front foot as well.
Fantastic. So you mentioned that you were studying and you you had a bit of a break from cricket but still continued.
Yeah.
What, tell us a little bit more about your, you know, what was your career aspiration? Was it to go into psychology? Was it to be able to practice in sport, or what was the dream for you in terms of career?
So I was, when I started my college, I chose a subject, psychology, and that time I developed interest in it, so I wanted to pursue that. So I finished my graduation in psychology, then I went for master's in clinical psychology, and along with that, I got to know that there is a subject called sports psychology.
Mm-hmm.
So I wanted to pursue that, and after my master's, like in my clinical psychology, then I went for a master's in sports psychology, and I pursued that in UK from Nottingham University, and I did one more master's there in sports and exercise psychology.
Wow. I mean, there's an amazing role model for everybody listening, especially our younger listeners, to be able to appreciate the commitment from yourself to your education. So not just in your own country, but to also come across to the UK to further develop your learning. So once you finished your studies, what was the plan then?
So after finishing my study, I always wanted to work as a sports psychologist.
Mm-hmm.
So after finishing my master's in the UK, I went back to India, and I was working in a sports school as a sports psychologist for one and a half years. And after that, I got married, and then I moved here in Vienna.
So let's hear a bit more about your move from India to Austria. So what's that been like?
So basically, I moved here in Vienna because of my husband, because he's working here. A couple of years back, we moved here in Vienna, Austria, and still we are here. And then I found a cricket team here in Austria. I just searched for it. I Googled it, and maybe on the Facebook, I tried to find. And I was lucky enough to find a cricket team or a cricket association here in Austria, because Austria is not a cricketing country, or they don't have any major clubs or leagues happening here. But I was lucky enough to find one, and I just contacted them and told them, like, I'm interested. I have played cricket before, and I would like to join you. So they were very happy to have me, and they welcomed me. That's how I started my journey here in Vienna since maybe 1.5 years now.
So you arrived in Austria pre-COVID. And it was your husband's career that took you both from India to Austria. But you wanted to, you still wanted to pursue your interest and passion in cricket. And although, as you rightly say, Austria isn't as competitive in terms of its cricket infrastructure as India, you still found an opportunity. But you also found an opportunity to coach. So tell us a little bit about your coaching.
Yes. So I was that was not my plan to coach initially, but the association here asked me to coach, like, if you are interested in coaching and everything. So I was just open for all the opportunities where I can go for. And I just did one coaching course before COVID, ICC Europe level 1 coaching course. And I started coaching kids, and we do have 3 new women's club here in Vienna. So now I'm coaching them. And hopefully I'll, after this, the COVID thing is over, maybe I can go for the second level 2 course, ECB. And now I'm enjoying my coaching part, and I would like to go for it.
Amazing. And when you say that you'd like to maybe do an ECB level two, would that be possible in Austria, or would you have to come to the UK to do that?
I guess that would be possible in Austria. Maybe we can arrange it here, or else I would be happy to come to the UK and do that. Anything is okay for me at the moment.
But is it actually, I mean, as somebody who resides in Austria, is it possible to do an ECB coaching qualification in Austria as opposed to being based in the UK? Is that possible still? Yeah.
I think so. It's possible. Yes.
Oh, that's interesting. Yeah. So, and you say there are three women's teams in Vienna.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And you help each of them, do you?
Yes. Yes. Since last 1 year, I'm helping them. So one is the national team, and plus we do have three newly formed clubs. And plus I do train under 13 kids.
Oh, that's fantastic. So you've got a real broad range of experience to develop your coaching skills and your relationships.
Exactly. Yes.
And has there been an opportunity to, since COVID, has there been an opportunity to return to cricket in Austria? Or is that still just starting to build up again?
Yeah, so last year was very difficult, I would say, of course, for everybody. But now it's I guess, from this month, in like May end, we could start again.
So you've got the opportunity in a few weeks to get back out onto the grass and coach,
yes,
and play.
Right.
And what are the facilities like in Vienna?
So we do have two cricket grounds, mainly. Otherwise, yeah, there is no big infrastructure as such. But yeah, we are hoping to develop it soon as the teams are increasing, the opportunities increasing, and cricket is growing really fast here. So we do want to develop some infrastructure which can be helpful for everybody here, for the kids, and especially. For now, our focus is women's cricket, so we want to develop that. So we do have two main grounds. One is in the city of Vienna, and one is slightly outside. Otherwise, in the winter, usually we do train in the indoor halls, school halls. We do have that available. Yeah, and I guess, yeah, that's a normal thing.
And you say that the National Association, with your support, are looking to build the infrastructure. So what's your understanding of what the strategy is? Is it starting in schools? I know you said that, you know, women is going to be part of that strategy, but are they starting in schools as well? Is that going to be part of the plan?
Yeah, exactly. The plan is, so we want to go for the schools and develop the interest in kids especially, and we want to involve local people rather than just Indian subcontinent, because we do have a United Nations office here, and we have a lot of Asian people here who do play cricket. So we want to develop first infrastructure where we could have kids, local kids, around Vienna, or let's say around from Austria as well. Yeah, so that's the main plan for now, and developing women cricket is the main goal at the moment.
If you've not listened, you must listen to our podcast with Fani, who is doing a very similar role, very similar role to you, but in Hungary. Again, another country that has not got hundreds of years of experience behind them in terms of cricket, but they are looking to try to develop their cricket strategy and their infrastructure to provide opportunities for everybody locally as well as expats to get included. So I'll introduce you separately, but have a listen to that podcast, because her story is a really interesting one as well. And tell us a little bit about how you came to represent and be part of the Austrian national team.
So I'm here in Vienna for now almost 3 years. So playing for the Australian national team, the ICC criteria is the player should be at least a resident of the country, or the player should be at least 3 years residing in the country. So now I qualified the second criteria because I'm not a resident of Austria. I qualify the second criteria, which is I'm now here in the country for 3 years, and now I can represent the national team. So I'm quite interested, quite excited, and interested in playing for the national team, and I'm looking forward to it.
And when will that be? When will that first opportunity be realized?
So that would be hopefully in this summer if all the things goes well with the COVID situation currently. If that goes well, we can have a tournament in September, maybe August or September. In this summer, we are trying to have one. If everything goes well, yeah, then that would be the opportunity for me.
And who would the tournament involve?
So currently, we are considering Italy and Jersey.
So it would be a tri-nation tournament between
Yes, it
Austria,
would be a
Italy, and Jersey.
yes.
Well, I'm sure that every
COVID permits us, yes.
yeah, well, fingers crossed, and I'm sure everybody listening will wish you all the very best and
Thank you.
if you get that opportunity to enjoy it to its
Yes.
absolute maximum. And it's a wonderful story, and it's a wonderful set of memories that you shared with us, and
Thank you.
a really wonderful insight into a very interesting background, from playing in your terrace in your front room with your
Yeah.
elder brother, through
Yeah.
to not having any cricket at school, but playing at college, university, and then state, having
Yeah.
those wonderful experiences and memories of making friends, but seeing different parts of India when you played at university level. All of your commitments to your studies, for which everybody needs to really congratulate you for all of your commitments to all of your studies. But then getting this new opportunity through moving from India to Austria, and seeing an
Yeah.
opportunity to play a part in their cricket development across Austria as a whole, as well as just Vienna as
Yes.
a city,
Yes.
and then as you've just described as well, having the opportunity to represent their national team, which is some privilege. So
Exactly.
thank you ever so much, Gandali, for sharing your life in
Okay.
cricket and the story behind it. And I'm sure all of our listeners will be interested in hearing about your story and all those different parts of it that have taken you to where you are now.
Yes.
And join me in wishing you all the very best in the future.
Thank you. Yes, thank you so much once again for inviting me and giving the opportunity to explain my journey, small journey, in front of you. Thank you so much.
It's our pleasure. And for those of you who have listened to our podcast episode with Gandali, please leave us a nice little review and share it with all of your friends, because as you know, I think this will be about our 42nd episode, and we're trying to get to 50. 50 not out is a nice little milestone for cricket. This is all about trying to spread the word around the women and girls game, not just in the UK, but outside of the UK as well. And this is a great example of that, with Gandali's story coming from India to Austria, and then wherever next, we shall find out in the near future, I'm sure. Thanks for listening, everyone. Thanks for listening, everybody. As a reminder, each Cricket Coach 365 podcast will be released every Friday at 6 p.m. on Spotify and Apple Play. After listening, please leave us a positive review on Spotify and share it with your friends and contacts. You can also follow us on Instagram at cricket_coach365. Have a great day.